The kingdom of heaven is about generosity. God's and ours says so in Jesus' parable. When the vineyard owner asks disgruntled workers, "Are you envious because I'm generous?" Or in the translation we heard this morning, I think it was, "Are you giving me the evil eye because I'm generous?" I like that. "Are you giving me the stink eye because I'm generous?" My translation, "Do you begrudge my generosity?" The one word used to describe the vineyard owner is generous. It's how he describes himself. It's how he understands what he's done, even if others don't understand it. What has he done? Early in the morning, he hired a group of men to work in the vineyard for an agreed-upon day's wage, a coin called a denarius. Throughout the day, several times, he returned to hire additional workers. Even in the last hour of daylight, he hired more workers. And when the day was over, it was time to pay up. He lined them up from those who'd come last to those who'd been there all day sweating in the heat. To those who came last, he paid a whole day's wage, which is exactly how much he paid everyone, up to and including those who'd worked all day for it, which they had agreed. "It's not fair," they protested. "Not fair? Didn't you agree to work for this?" "Yes. Well then, what is it to you if I pay others the same? Do you begrudge me for being generous?" And we know how the first ones felt. Cheated. But how did the others feel about it? Pretty elated, I imagine. Pretty good, I think. It's an amazing thing to receive generosity, whether big or small. Just the other day, I went outside, just right out here from my office, to water the veggie garden. It was about 1 o'clock. It was hot. When I rounded the corner, I encountered there, right outside, a longtime pastor friend of mine who I hadn't seen in a long time. She was with 4 other women and immediately greeted me happily, and I asked, "What's brought you here?" "I didn't know you'd be here today." And she said, "Well, I brought my staff to learn about your children's ministry from the Dayspring staff, and we want to start using godly play, and we've learned all about that. It's been a great day." I said, "Oh, that's great. I'm glad that could happen today. I had no idea. How wonderful." And then she continued, "And then we went and picked up Schmaltz's sandwiches and went back out under the trees to have a picnic." And I said, "Oh, that's great. Nice place to have a picnic. Nice to be in the shade on a day like today. I forgot my lunch today. A schmaltz sounds amazing. Maybe I'll go get one." I was already there in my mind. I was already in line getting the schmaltz. I snapped out of my momentary contemplation to see that she was looking at me curiously, and then she asked slightly awkwardly, "Would it offend you if I gave you half a sandwich?" "Huh?" She said, "Well, I have half a sandwich I'm not going to be able to eat. Would you like it?" "Sure," I said. "You don't have to ask me twice if I want a schmaltz. I'm shameless." Then, leveling up her mom quotient, she reaches down elbow deep into this huge purse and pulls out a perfectly wrapped half sandwich, presents it to me. Now I ask you, what's better than an unexpected, undeserved schmaltz? It's manna from heaven. I ate every bite of it. I'm truly shameless. Generosity is giving to others freely and abundantly. This would have been very different if she pulled out a half-eaten pack of crackers. I mean, it would have been fine, but it was a schmaltz. Generosity is giving to others freely and abundantly. We see it in the parable. I tasted it in the sandwich. I received a gift that was abundant and was kind It was friendship more than pity. Do you think of the character of God as generous? And we say God is good. We say God is gracious. Is God generous? Generosity in the parable translates a Greek word which usually means good. It describes earlier in Matthew a tree that produces abundant sweet fruit. That tree is good. And it's used of soil that produces abundant harvest. The soil is good. Here the vineyard owner is the same word. He's good. He's generous. It's a way of being that produces life and joy beyond justice or the minimum or reasonable expectation. Generosity is delicious, as I've described. It can also be shocking, especially if it comes from someone you don't know. Years ago, our family was doing early planning for a road trip that would take us through Boston in June. I wondered if the Red Sox would be in town because I'd love to go to a game at Fenway, and the only other time I'd been in Boston, they were on a road trip the whole time. So I opened my computer to check. And as I did, I prayed a very selfish and shallow prayer. God, if you exist, the Red Sox will be in town. But as I was typing the Google search, I went even further deep into heresy. If you exist and if you love me, the Red Sox will be in town and they'll be playing the Rangers. That was a joke, I promise, sort of. But I hit return on my search. There it was. Proof of God's existence worthy of any apologetics and evidence of God's love sufficient for any doubt. Tuesday night, June 11th, 2019, Rangers at Red Sox, Fenway Park. We got to go to Fenway to see the Rangers. And not only that, the game was bonkers. There was a moving video tribute and moment of silence for longtime favorite David Ortiz, who was in the hospital at that time. I had to explain Big Poppy to the kids. There was an inside the park home run. Both managers were tossed from the game. The Rangers won. It was awesome. I think God was like, do I exist? Do I love you? Watch this. But even that wasn't it. On the way out of the stadium, walking to the train with all the crowd, a man from out of the crowd pointedly addresses my son. This is stranger danger moment. Pointedly addresses, do you like the Red Sox? He asked him. Jimmy was decked in Rangers gear, but said, yeah, I guess. The man says, good. And like Mean Joe Green in that old Coke commercial, this certain age of you will know what I'm talking about, he takes a shirt off his shoulder and throws it to him and walks away. Jimmy unfolds this gift that's just come down upon him, opens it up, unfolds it, and it was a genuine MLB quality Red Sox David Ortiz jersey. And the man had disappeared into the crowd. I asked him to bring that jersey today. Did you? I don't even know where you are. Did you do it? You didn't bring it, did you? All right, that's fine. But what a moment. It's totally random. Totally out of the blue. Totally true, this story. And I think God was like, do I exist and do I love? I can go much further than that. Watch what I can do. It's a memory we'll never forget. Moses Maimonides, a 12th century rabbi, describes a ladder of charity from the lowest rung to a highest rung. To give begrudgingly is the lowest rung. And he describes different steps that lead all the way up to the highest rung, which he describes as to hand someone a gift or a loan, to enter into partnership with him, to find work for him so that he'll never have to beg again. It's beyond even this gift that we were given that night. It's relationship that continues on as the highest form of generosity. The word good here in our passage has the meaning of that which brings forth something that was not there before, like life, like relationship, like a future and a hope. It's not begrudging at all. It's abundant, joyful goodness. Our word generous expresses this kind of goodness. With other words like it, it shares the root gen, which means to beget, generate, generation, genealogy. All these words have to do with bringing life and future where there was none before. It's also the root for Genesis, the biblical story of origins, where we first begin to learn who God is. God is a Genesis God, a generous God. Creation meets human need for physical sustenance. It didn't have to be delicious. Creation meets the need for air and water. It didn't have to be beautiful. Creation meets our needs. It didn't also have to manifest its creator, but it does. When you encounter a necessary beauty in a field of wildflowers, or a starry night, or the laughter of a child, those are God's fingerprints. God gives good things freely and abundantly and sees it is good. If generosity is the character of God, then generosity is a virtue we're to grow in as well, that we would be more like God. It's been said generosity is not a random idea or haphazard behavior, but rather in its mature form, a basic personal moral orientation to life. Sometimes people talk about a random act of kindness, which is nice in its own way, but acts of kindness, if they are generous, are not random. They grow out of an orientation to life that's open-handed instead of closed-fisted. These are two ways to go through life, open-handed or closed-fisted. How are you holding your hands? How do you hold your hands as you go through your day? Are they closed-fisted? Or are they open-handed? Open hands grow out of an orientation to life that's not closed-fisted. How do we become more generous? By being more generous, taking one rung at a time upward on the ladder of generosity. If the only place you can start is a gift given begrudgingly, start there. You're on the ladder. But there's steps above you to grow into. When we were younger, a campus ministry leader at the Baptist Student Union, A&M, saw the financial situation we were in. Jenny was getting close to graduation, but had more books left to buy than money in the bank. I wasn't doing much better. She was scraping by as best she could, but couldn't pay for books without a job, and couldn't get to her job without a car. And he called her over one day and said to her, "I have a car to sell. It has a lot of miles on it, but it's a Honda, so it should keep running for a while. Are you interested?" She said, "Well, that is interesting, but I don't have money to buy a car." He said, "The price is good. I'll sell it to you for $5. Even a car with over 200,000 miles on it is worth a lot more than that." And he said to her, "If you still have this car in a year, I will be mad at you because it won't last that much longer. $5, here's the keys to your car." And yet that car lasted longer. We married. We pulled it on the back of a trailer all the way to the East Coast. It was our car for 3 years. It was a good car. But then the time came when we could scrape up enough to buy a car we needed for the hour-long commute we faced each day. What should we do with the old Honda? There was a young couple in our church. He was from Cuba. She was from Mexico. I'd performed their wedding in Spanish, which was a total riot. We called him over after church and said, "We have a car to sell. Are you interested?" They said, "Oh, we don't have money to buy a car." We knew what was coming. We said, "We'll make you a good deal. $4. Goodness generated from generation to generation. We don't just flip a switch on generosity. We cultivate a spirituality of generosity like soil. It flows through us like a flowing stream. St. Bonaventure, whose prayer we shared this morning, the first Franciscan theologian, saw God as a fountain flowing with life that sprung creation into being. He described God as a fountain fullness of love. And where did he get that idea? Where did he get the idea that God is a fountain fullness of love? Well, he drew on Neoplatonic philosophical concepts of the good, augmented with a pseudo-Dionysian metaphysic and hue of St. Victor's spirituality. Sure, that's where his head got it. You know where his heart got it? You know where his eyes got it? By watching St. Francis walk through the world. By watching a person go through life open-handed, open-hearted, kind, selfless, joyful, giving, sacrificial. That's how others saw God, was through one person's life. How about you? How about us? On the cusp of being asked to take part in a church fundraising campaign to build a building, the question before us isn't how much money can you give. The first question is, how do you walk through the world? If we tackle a building project, we'll each have to ask ourselves, how much money can I give? That's a financial question. The spiritual question it participates in is much deeper. How can I be generous? And it's not just to a building project or even primarily to a building project. Whether or not there's ever a building project. The spiritual question is, how can I be generous? How can I grow in generosity in the way I walk in the world? How can I walk in Christ in the world? The highest form of generosity is a shared life, not a single act. A life transformed into one that, like God, generates, like Genesis, new life. A future where there was not one before. I want to walk through life like that. I want to walk through life with people who help me become like that. I've told three stories this morning. A sandwich pulled elbow deep from a purse. A shirt tossed from a drunken Red Sox fan to a young Rangers fan. A car passed from one generation to the next. What do these all have in common? I was on the receiving end of all of them, sure. These are stories told today from 5 days ago, 5 years ago, and 25 years ago. You know what stories I didn't tell? I have no idea, because they didn't happen. A story of generosity is only a story because someone reached in her purse, gave a boy a gift, passed on a blessing. A reasonable boss who pays each other a fair wage is a good start, but it's not a gospel parable. It's not the gospel. It's not the abundant, gracious, generous, life-giving gospel of our Lord. That's a different kind of story. Those are the stories we tell. We tell stories of a God who flows love like a fountain, and a people through whom that love flows in 10,000 places. Those are stories worth telling, more stories that can fill the books of the whole world. If the kingdom of heaven has hands, they're open and extended. If the kingdom of heaven has hands, they're yours. Let us come with open hands to receive the gifts of our Lord at his table.